friend of the show, Craig Isherwood from the Citizens Electoral Council. Hello, Craig.
G'day, Jeff.
You doing all right?
I'm doing very well at this civilised hour.
Yes, much nicer, isn't it?
Sure, it is.
Now, unfortunately, we've just lost another three young men, not in action, but through a horrible accident over in Afghanistan. Mm. What's the CEC? What's your take on Afghanistan?
Well, the problem with Afghanistan, Jeff, is the drugs. And that's why it's propagated and kept on going. If you want to stop the war in Afghanistan, you have to, first of all, eliminate the growing of the drugs, the opium.
Right.
In fact, there's been calls by the Russian government to actually have a war of eradication on drugs. And then reorganise and actually support the farmers to grow crops, very, you know, useful crops in the areas that they're growing poppies. At the moment, the control over the, particularly by the Taliban, is over the farmers in growing opium. That opium is then sold through the existing banking system for trillions of dollars, and it's funding all sorts of terrorism operations around the world.
It is ironic, isn't it, that according to the Taliban, we're the great Satan, and they're funding their operations through well, drugs.
Well, the Taliban and the international banking system tend to come together in what we call Dope Inc. And our organisation, through the LaRouche organisation back in the 80s, wrote a book of that title, which was linking up the way that the international banks, the what we call the financial oligarchy, actually fund themselves through the sale of illicit drugs. And Afghanistan today is one of the biggest suppliers, if not the biggest suppliers, of illicit opium that's poisoning most of the European nations and Russia, and also creating enormous amounts of money. Just black money goes into funding terrorism operations.
I read where one of the projects the American government's working on is doing exactly what, like you're talking about, essentially subsidising farmers to grow other stuff that, not drugs, and make a good living out of it, so they won't be inclined to support the Taliban efforts.
Yeah, well, that's the issue is national sovereignty here, and the issue is to have a combined multinational effort to support Afghanistan as a nation. And that means you actually have to have a willing coalition of forces, the British particularly. The British have always, it's funny that the areas where the drugs are worst are in fact in the Australian and the British areas, which they control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the reality, is that there's not, the idea is that you don't shoot the insurgents or people in the poppy fields because they could be the farmers. And you don't have a war on drugs. You don't actually take it. You don't get rid of the drug problem. But if you are really serious about solving that war, you have to support Afghanistan as a nation. You have to give back its sovereignty, and you have to then provide the aid necessary to rebuild and support the farmers.
How do you give back their sovereignty when the government's so corrupt?
Well, all governments these days are corrupt based upon the way the international financial and monetary system is working.
No, but they're just downright dodgy. You know, it's got nothing, you know what I mean?
I think there's a bit of a bias there, Jeff, because I think there's some pretty dodgy fellas in the United States now. Like, you take this Barney Frank guy that, we've been fighting here as the chair of the Finance Committee over there. Now, you know, we've been talking about dealing with the problem with the global financial system. In fact, there's so much debt in it. And bringing back what I talked to you about last week, this proposal, which you suggested, actually, well, why don't we just write off the dodgy debt, the speculative fictitious debt.
Yeah, just start when the sun comes up tomorrow, everyone starts at zero, all good.
Well, you can't start at zero. You've got to recognise that there are legitimate debts in the system. I mean, you can't just wipe out loans for manufacturing purposes or for commerce. That's legitimate, but it only forms a very small part of the enormous, what we call $1.4 quadrillion of debt in the system.
The only problem is someone's put up that money. I mean, someone's owed that money. And as much as I like the idea of just, just slashing it and going, look, let's all just start at almost zero tomorrow and carry on from there, someone will be seriously out of pocket.
Yeah, the speculators.
Right.
The people that have, take Lehman Brothers. They were leveraged 34 times to every dollar they had as assets. And when they went belly up in 2008, it crashed the entire system and caused massive freakouts right throughout the world, which are still going on today. Mm.
But they didn't invent money. I mean, they must have borrowed the money from somewhere. Someone owns the money.
It's not the money that's the problem, Jeff. The money is the speculation in the money itself and the love of money itself. Money is just an idiot. It's only really useful as a means of exchange. But since we've had global deregulation, globalization, we've had a system whereby money itself is given value, so people want money for money's sake, and this is what these derivative things are. I mean, you're basically, you're not, you know, money's good for when you buy something, like you buy something physical and you take delivery of it and there's a money exchange, but when it gets to the point that people are speculating on the idea that I will put a monetary value on the value of speculating that someone might buy that product. So you become one step removed from actually buying the product, but you're buying the potential to buy that product. That's where you start getting into lunacy, and that's what's happened with the world system, is you heard so much of this betting that such and such might buy that product or may not buy that product.
It's just gambling, though, isn't it?
It is pure gambling, and that's what you're talking about with the regulation of the monetary and financial system. You have to say, okay, look, money's money. It's an idiot. We need it for commerce. We need it for trade. We need it to pay for services. But we should not have this speculation, which is where people are saying, I've made these bets in certain ways, therefore you have to pay it because you've got to pay my gambling debts. And what's happened in Europe right now is that you've got a system, you know, there's this enormous amount, $1.53 trillion amongst the 16 European countries, which is being lent to the banks. And a huge proportion of that money, about $442 billion borrowed by the from the Central Bank of Europe right now, is due to come and be paid back by the 1st of July.
How much is due?
$442 billion amongst the European banks.
Right.
And it's due to be paid back by the 1st of July, and they haven't done it.
I mean, they can't. It's not like borrowing money and then not paying for a house and not paying it back, and you foreclose and the bank owns the... How do you foreclose a country that can't pay its debts?
Well, what happens is the country gets downgraded and people stop lending money to that country, so all the vital industries in that country begin to shut down. And that's the problem, is that right now, what we're experiencing in the end of June, beginning of July, people are saying, well, those countries that are actually insolvent will stop lending the money. And the short-term credit facilities start to dry up. And it's exactly what happened in 2008 with the global financial crisis back then. It's happening now in Europe, and it's in process as we speak.
People, I mean, if they'll end up buying cars with turnips and all. I mean, the black economy will start taking off, won't it?
Well, what will happen is
plants
that
and turnips.
What will happen is that various companies that are producing those cars will say, well, okay, we need some money to, you can't have any. We can't have any.
But everyone eats turnips. I mean, you might find that turnips become a very valuable commodity.
Well, here in Australia, our banks have something in the vicinity of $442 billion, which is of their total debt of about $1 trillion. Well, that's not just the banks, but general foreign-owned debt. It has to be turned over every 90 days.
So what's going to happen on July 1? When all this money is due, what's going to happen, do you think?
Who knows? I mean, there's so much smoke and mirrors now. The financial system is a global casino. There's so much smoke and mirrors and crap in the system that no one can really...
We've only got a week to find out, haven't we?
Well, that's right. And that's what the insanity is of the entire system. We actually should have a global system, whereby you actually know that the system is stable, and it isn't anymore, because it's become one giant casino, and the risk is, a very serious risk, of a total meltdown of the system. You literally go to the bank, one day there's nothing there, the ATM is shut. And guess what? That's not...
Not that we want to scare people.
Oh, I know, but...
No, that's right. Or plants and turnips. Plant turnips, people.
if people want to actually have a look at The Australian on the 21st of June, there's a book now being written called Shitstorm, excuse the French. But shitstorm was a term that was used by Kevin Rudd to outline the nature of the financial crash.
Oh, that's right, yes.
In 2008. And the fact is, you had this guy, Ian Harper, who's the architect of Australia's financial system. And he was, as the global financial system was falling apart in October of 2008, he was saying, oh, no, the system is fine, it's safe, it's no worries whatsoever. Then he looked at his wife and he couldn't really say to her, look, I don't know whether we're going to have any grocery money next
That's
week. So
right.
He himself, on Sunday, went down and pulled a huge amount of money, as much as he could, out of the local ATM and hid it under his mattress.
Right.
With just something like $5 billion in the month of October 2008 was hidden in mattress. So the mattress bank did very well.
There we go. Now, Craig, I have to leave it there. If people want to find out more,
Well, we've got stuff on our website, Jeff, on this www.cecaust.com.au, or call 1-800-636-432 and we can send out some material on that, but the website's the best thing.
Mm. And it should have turnip seeds for sale or something, Craig. That could come in handy.
If you don't like turnips.
That's true. I'll catch you next week. Craig Isherwood.